Blog Talk Radio.
I had to ask Melvin and Doug Williams to stop by.
Ooh, wee.
To remind us that there's purpose in our pain. It may not look good right now. Don't worry.
Oh, my. Thank you. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And it brings my heart so much joy to be able to bring to you another installation of Every Man Standing in His Place with the wonderful Pastor Jeffrey Scott. So right now, my brothers and my sisters, get ready to receive a blessing from the anointed man of God, your host, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate you so much, you know, always being there and always giving me the opportunity to speak a word from the Lord. You know, I appreciate your support, your insight, your help, your love. I just appreciate you. Thank you so much. I thank God.
God bless you. God bless you.
You know, in I want to start out a word of prayer. Let us bow our heads. Gracious and most loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening giving you thanks right now. We give you praise right now. We give you honor and glory right now. We thank you for this opportunity to bring your word, Father God. We thank you for those that are listening and will be listening online, Father God. And we just thank you right now. We ask that you touch all of our hearts and our minds, Father God. Allow us to receive a word from you, or receive the word that you have for us, Father God, and allow it to work in our souls, work in our hearts, that we can live the way you want us to live, that we can walk the way that you want us to walk, that we can talk the way that you want us to talk, Father God. We just want to do your will in these times, Father God. We know things get tough, but we know that you are tougher than anything that could ever come our way, Father God. And we just thank you for being that protector. We thank you for being that bridge over troubled water. We thank you for being that hedge of protection, Father God. We just thank you. We love you. And we ask that you just be the speaker on this hour, Father God. We ask that I step back, Father God. You step in and you be the words, Father God. You be who you are and just allow it to come through me, Father God. And I'm just so thankful, so grateful, so humble that you use me as your servant. For it's in Jesus' name, I pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. So,
amen.
You know, there was a message that was preached by our Bishop Shalene Cook, and you know, it was so much on point. You know, which it always is. God uses her in a mighty way, and so there was just. She was talking about Ruth, and when she was going through the struggle of just being in a famine and which direction to go, what does she do, and how does she do it? You know, there was this this thing that just taught me and it just held on to me, and it was talking about a famine. It was talking about a famine. In the land, I'm going to be talking about a famine in the land, or even just a famine in each one of our lives, because it doesn't have to be a world pandemic. There could be something just happening in one person's life that can create a path for them, that they may be in a spiritual famine. They may be in a famine that they don't know what to do and don't know where to get what they can what God has for them and what God has for you and I, and we have to have a way to do that. But the only true way we can do that is to just study the Word of God, live the Word of God, and try to react and act in the way that God would have us to. So there's a few different passages that I want to that I'm going to be reading from, and one of the passages is going to be in Ruth. It is going to be in Ruth in the second chapter, and I'm going to start out with the 8th verse in the second chapter, and it says, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.'" And then it says, so she fell down on her face. This is verse 10. It says, "She fell down on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have you? Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" And it says in verse 11, "And Boaz answered to her and said, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work.'" Get that. "The Lord repay your work, and full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his most holy word.
Amen.
And if I was to title this text, I would just say that it would be a question, and it would say, where do we stand in times like these? Where do we stand in times like these? And so we see that Ruth was, she had to go somewhere where she was unfamiliar with, but she went with somebody that she could trust, somebody that she loved, and somebody that she cared about. And what happened is that led to her being in a place where she got noticed by somebody that could help her, by somebody that could pick her up, by somebody that could be there to, as we see in the word, protect her. And we have to look at this as it was all happening because there was a famine. There was a famine. Now, when we look at there being a famine, a lot of times we look at it as something that is bad, something that is wrong, something that we are missing out on, something that is taking away from us, something that may be hurting us, or something that may be depriving us of something that we need. We look at it at that, as that, but when you look at this whole situation here, it was that God was allowing something to happen. God allowed this famine to happen because the outcome was going to be so great. The outcome was going to be able to affect other people. The outcome was going to be able to have other people understand who God is. Ruth's story is kind of like our today's situation, but it's similar. I would say it's not just like it; it's similar because we're going through this pandemic right now. But when you look at what Ruth was going through and everything that was happening in her life, there was somebody there that God wanted to lead her to. And so in this situation that we're in, this pandemic, what is it that God is trying to lead us to? What is it that God is trying to get us to understand? What is it that God is trying to show us through this stuff that's going on? I heard one guy say that that this pandemic is closing our churches and that is keeping people out of our churches. But I don't know about anybody else, but I just believe that the building is not the true church. The true church is the people
Amen.
Of God
come
that come together to be a part of the body of Christ. And we have to understand that God may have allowed these, he may have allowed the doors of the church houses to be closed so we can reach those that need to be reached outside of the church. How many times
Amen.
Have we been in church houses and we've been preaching and singing and talking and praying and reading the word of God inside the church, but we haven't been taking that reading and teaching and singing and praying and preaching outside the walls of the church. We've just been kind of getting together and showing how it is on the inside, and then when we go on the outside, it's totally different. We're not affecting the world. The world is affecting us to show us how to congregate within four walls and leave it in there.
Preach,
but God
preacher.
Is saying no more of that. God is saying we have to
preach,
move.
Preacher.
We have to get out of these four walls of the church. We have to do some things. So he's allowing the famine in the land to happen so we can move the way he wants us to move. Sometimes we got to look at what God is trying to do in our life, not what we
yeah.
are wanting to do, not what we are trying
Come
to
on,
do,
man,
not what
yeah.
we think we should do, but we are supposed to be doing what God wants us to do. And when we do what God wants us to do, we'll see everything works for the good of them that love God and who are called according to his
yes.
purpose. Haven't you noticed that we
Hallelujah.
Have been able to fellowship with more people online and over the phone than we have been trying to go to each church at different
Come
times?
On.
We can just meet up and we can praise God together. We don't even have to see
yeah.
face. We can do that by Zoom if we need to, but we don't have to. But we can reach
Come
more.
On.
Outside of the walls.
You better talk.
And inside of the walls.
You better preach, Pastor.
We never would know that if God hadn't allowed
Hallelujah.
The situation to happen.
Nobody
we wouldn't
knows.
Have known that if God
Come on.
Hadn't allowed mm-hmm. this pandemic to happen. The things that people are thinking are so bad that people are thinking are going to shut down the world. I don't care if this whole world gets shut down. God's word is still gonna go forth. It don't matter.
Yes,
what
hallelujah.
It don't matter
Amen.
What anybody does to try to shut it
Amen.
Down. God's word is gonna move forward. God's word is gonna
Amen.
Come out of the mouth of his children.
Hallelujah.
So we have to understand
Come
what
on,
is that
hallelujah.
We're gonna, where are we gonna stand in times like these?
Mm. All right
and
now.
Where are we gonna stand in times like these? Now, Ruth was standing where she was supposed to be, where God had wanted her to stand. And at the same time, you had Boaz that was over the field, it was his field, and he had to reassure her that she was going to be okay in his field. Don't you know that no matter what's going on, God is reassuring us that we're going to be okay in this world during this
yeah.
pandemic? All of this is his. All of this is what he
Hallelujah.
Made. All of this is what he made. And he made it, and we're going to be okay in it. It doesn't matter what happened. It don't matter how it happened. God is going to always prevail. And so we have to understand that that Boaz, when he said, did he tell the men there not to touch her, not to mess with her, not to tell her to get out of the field, not to allow her to glean from the fields or anything like that? He said, leave her alone.
Mm.
And provide for
mm-hmm.
her water when she needs it.
Now, I understand that it may not seem like much, but you have to understand that in these times, it was totally different than this pandemic time when it, back then, when it came to a famine, that was the means of life or death. It was life or death situation. Right now, we're in this pandemic, and people think that it's a life or death situation, but it's not truly life or death because it's still provisions being made. You can fill out some little papers and wait at home for a check, and you can you know that you're going to get something. It may not be when you want it, but it's on time because God provides. But what I'm saying is that it's not between life and death. We have different resources that we can go to, but the thing is, we're not supposed to count on those resources. We're supposed to count. We're supposed to count on the resources of God, and God owns everything. God has everything. God will provide everything that you need. We don't need to worry about where our
resources
coming from. Because if God can feed the birds, if he can feed the birds, then he can feed us. God can give us everything that we need.
Yes. Come on.
So where
that's
we
good.
Stand in times like these. And she said, and Ruth was asking, why did she find favor in him? But he directed it to who? He directed it to God. He directed it to the Lord. And he said, the Lord repay your work. In other words, I know I'm telling the men to provide this for you and not to tell you to leave, but God is the one that's telling me to tell them these things so you can be provided for what God wants you to have. And so sometimes we got to look at it as we can block people's blessings if we don't give or do what God wants us to do. If God wants to bless somebody else through us, sometimes we just shut down somebody else's blessing because we are so tight pocket. We are so tight-lipped. We don't want to give somebody a word of God, and we just want to hold on to it for ourselves, and we're not telling somebody else about it. We're putting a brick wall up in front of God's word. I got news for you. God's will is going to be done whether you do it or somebody else does it. His will is going to get done because there's nobody that can stop the word of God. There's nobody that can stop the will
Amen.
Of God.
Amen. Preach now.
There's nobody that can stop the blessings of God. I'm just here to say that God is going to keep it moving whether you're on the train or not. So I just suggest that we just need to all get on God's train. We need to walk the way God wants us to walk. We need to talk the way God wants us to talk. We need to move the way God wants us to move. And we see Boaz did that. Boaz said that the Lord repay you for your work. In other words, it's not because of me. It's because of God. And it's because of the God in me. It's because of God that works through me. And I realize that you have prayed to God. I realize that you have come under the wings of God because you want God to protect. You want God to provide. You want God to be that head of protection around you. And so since I understand that, then my job is to allow God's will to happen through me because I'm not trying to quench the spirit. I'm not trying to shut it down. I'm not trying to stop God from doing what he does. And sometimes we can do that even though we're not trying to. If we don't allow God to move in our lives, if we don't allow God to work in our lives, we're shutting down what God wants to do in somebody else's life.
Teach. Teach. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And there's something else that I wanted to read. And it's talking about David when he was running from Saul, when he was hiding from Saul and in the wilderness. And this is a way of their him being in a stronghold, meaning that he wasn't in a city. He wasn't around a lot of people. He wasn't around a lot of resources. And it was like, it was just him and God a lot of the time. That's why he was able to write the psalm that he did. And so it says here, it says in the first Samuel, in the 23rd verse, it says, 23rd chapter, 14th verse, it says, and David stayed in the stronghold, the wilderness, and remained in the mountains and the wilderness of Ziph. Saw him every day, but God did not deliver him unto his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of this in a forest. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, because right here is talking about David that was anointed to be the king. He was a son of Jesse, the youngest son, and he was anointed to be the king. But he wasn't the king yet, because Saul was the king. But Saul had been threatened by God's presence in David for whatever reason, because David was just doing God's will when he was serving for Saul. Anytime Saul would get upset or get mad or get frustrated, David would play music for him, and it would soothe Saul. But Saul found out that Saul thought that David was going to try to kill him, so he said he was going to try to kill David. So when you look at this and you see David in the strongholds in the wilderness, you see that he was not around a lot of people, not around a lot of resources, and not in a familiar area. He was not in a familiar territory. So, in other words, we can say that this is like a personal famine. This is his personal famine. Sometimes everybody doesn't experience the same thing at the same time. Sometimes we experience it individually instead of collectively, and we try to understand what's going on in our life. We try to understand why things are happening in our life. We could, I could see David asking, I wonder why is it that Saul is really trying to kill me, because I am no threat to him, but I know what God has for me is for me, and it'll come in his time, but
yes, sir.
I'm not going to even concern myself with it. I'm going to go into the stronghold so I can be closer to God, so he can show me what I really need to do. Show me what he really wants to do. Show me how he's really trying to build me up through these troubling times, through this opposition, through this struggle and all of this. And we see that David was in the stronghold, and Saul and his men tried to sneak up on him. Okay? So when they tried to sneak up on him, and they didn't know David was in a cave that Saul was in. And David had the opportunity to take Saul's life. David had the opportunity to do what he wanted to do, even what he could have did to get himself out of trouble and to get back out of the stronghold into wherever he wanted to be. He had that opportunity. But he didn't go with what he wanted to do. He went with what God would have him to do.
Amen.
And he cut off a part of his robe. And he allowed him to see. He cut off part of his robe just so Saul would be able to see that I had the opportunity to do the wrong thing for the right reason. But if I would have did the wrong thing for the right reason, then I would have been doing what God wouldn't have wanted me to try to get the outcome that he wanted for me. And if we do the wrong thing, if we do the wrong thing for the right reason, we're still going to be doing what God doesn't want us to do, and everything is not going to turn out the way we want it to, because something is not going to be matching up with God's word. We have to understand that if we are in the wilderness, if we are in trouble, if we are in a famine, we are not supposed to do things that we want to do. We are not supposed to do things that we feel like will work out better. We are not supposed to do the things that God may not want us to do, because it's his word that we are supposed to follow. So we have to understand we got to do what God wants us to do, regardless of how we feel and what we think, because God doesn't call us to feel good all the time, but he calls us to be obedient to his word. And if we are obedient to God's word, then we can move on the way that he wants us to. We can be in a situation and not lash out at somebody. We can be in a situation and not steal nothing from somebody, because we know God is going to provide. We can be in a situation and not try to drag somebody else down, because we know that God is going to lift us up one day. He's going to lift us up beyond whatever we can even ask or think. So we have to have that faith in God that he's going to move the way he wants to move, the way he wants us to live, the way he wants us to live. And as long as we are living like he wants us to live and we are moving in the direction that he wants us to go, then everything will work out.
Yes.
My God.
And so,
say that now.
Like I said,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Preach.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless you.
He didn't even know it. And he could have had all kind of harm and all of that come to him. He could have been dead in the cave, and nobody would have known until David came out of there. And David had the opportunity. Saul was weaponless in there. He couldn't even see David. But the fact was, David said, I'm a child of God. I'm going to
come
do his will. I know you meant harm for me. I know you mean harm for me. I know that you want to try to take my life. But God is giving me the opportunity to take yours. In other words, you have delivered mine enemies into my hands, and what do you want me to do, God? Instead of saying, you delivered my enemies unto me, and I'm going to do what I want to do with them. That's not how we are supposed to move. We got to ask God, what is it that he wants us to do? Because when there's a famine in our lives, when there's a famine in whatever it is, when there's a famine, we have to understand that God provides a way. God provides everything that we need. God provides even opportunities of which road do we take. We still have to make choices, but we have to make godly choices, because there's a way in and there's a way out. I'd rather be on the way in any day than on the way out. I'm going to be following God regardless of what people think. They might think that you had the opportunity to do this, to come up and all of this kind of stuff, but it's the wrong way. I'm not trying to come up that way. I'm trying to do what God would have me to do. I'll be broke praising God, and God will provide for me. And if I say broke praising God, God has owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. So that's not being broke. That's living off of faith in my Father. And so we have to understand that living in faith means that God is going to provide all you need. So you don't even need to call yourself broke if you don't have anything right now. Because if we believe that God will provide, that means that he's going to do what he said he will do. And it's the fact that in times like these, like this song, I was talking to my wife, and I was talking to her about it, and the song that she that she would sing in church, and it says, in times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor.
Yes.
We must be very sure our anchor grips on and grips and holds onto the solid rock. And then it says, that rock is Jesus. So when you are struggling in time,
come on,
anchor on to that rock, which is Jesus. When you are hurting sometimes, anchor to that rock, which is Jesus. If you are going through problems in your life, in your home, in your marriage, anchor on to the Lord, and He will guide you through. He's that rock that doesn't move. He's, you know, but we have to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, that we can be pulled from Him. We need to be anchored in the Lord at all times, because there's
going to
be waves
and
there's going to be storms and things are going to try to shake us aloof from what God has for us. But God is just saying, hold on, and everything's going to be all right. God is saying, hold on, and your provisions will be made. God is saying, hold on, and I'm going to lift you up to where you are supposed to be. Just hold on, and God is going to make a way in your life. So don't worry about what situation you are in right now. Don't worry about the wilderness right now. Don't worry about the famine right now, because God is going to move you in a way that you should go. And so,
amen.
There was one more.
That's good.
There was one more area that I wanted to talk about.
Amen. And, come on.
It was coming from. Genesis, and it's talking about Joseph and his brother, Joseph that was sold into slavery, and Joseph that had to endure his brothers had done to him, and also. It's a lot that's said about Joseph, but it's not always a lot that's said about his brothers and what they had went through to get to where God truly wanted them to be. You know, because what Joseph did, Joseph interpreted his dreams and he told them what his dreams meant. But then his brothers didn't like it, so they plotted against him. They weren't going to kill him until one of his brothers said, no, don't kill him. So then they sold him into slavery. You know, and so he was in slavery, and his brothers thought that he was dead. His brothers thought that he had gotten killed off where they had sold him, and they were living their lives according to the way they thought they should live them. But then, behold, what happened? What came about? There was a famine in the land. There was a famine in their homeland. There was a famine where they were. They didn't have any food. But what had happened before that, there would have been a famine where Joseph was. But Joseph interpreted a dream, and what he did is he made a way to make things last for the famine, so they were going to be okay. But his brothers were going through a famine, so then they had to come to where they sold Joseph to in order to get food. Not knowing that Joseph was in charge of everything where they were going to.
Come on.
So you got to watch where and what you do, because a famine might bring you back to your past that you don't want to see. A famine may bring you back to something that you have to realize that you were wrong in the first place, but then in the end you have to understand that what it's doing is bringing you right back around to what? Forgiveness. It's bringing you back around to making things right. It's bringing you back around to bringing things together again. Because when Joseph saw that his brothers came to him, and it was this conversation, and they actually talked to him about where they come from, and then he wanted to truly find out what they were about since they sold him into slavery. He kind of, I could see him saying, I want to make sure that they have truly changed their ways, or that they truly are on the right path. Did they kill their youngest brother since he's not there with them? You know, it was so much things that were going on. Joseph just wanted to make sure that everything was on the up and up. But see, the famine brought the brothers back to the one that they did wrong. And so, see, that's not always a bad thing. That's not always a bad thing if the one that you have done wrong is ready and willing to forgive you, and if they are under the hand of God, then you know that God has led you to a place where you can ease your mind, where you can ease your heart. You can, if your heart is troubled, just come to Him, and He will fix your troubled heart. He can ease your troubled mind. See, they were going through this whole process where everything was kind of it was scary for them because they didn't know that was their brother, and they were in a place where they had to ask somebody else for something else. But see, sometimes what happens is that when you try to put somebody down, God will raise them up and elevate them. And then when you run back into them, God will just show you where He brought them to without you. So sometimes we got to understand that God will let us see. God will let us see from our past that our future can be brighter than we thought it could ever be, because what we were thinking in the past was, I thought as a child, but now that I'm grown, yeah, I'm in the way, childish things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when all that was going on, they were younger. But now that they are older, and they saw their brother, they wanted forgiveness. And Joseph wanted to give them forgiveness. And Joseph,
mm-hmm,
he had everything that they could ever need. And he had already thought that they could come and stay with him. His whole family, he said, go get the parents, go get the siblings, get everybody. We okay here because God has provided. In other words, that famous quote from Joseph: "What the devil meant for my bad, God meant it for my good." And so, what it's saying is that if you are having a famine in your life, if you are having a famine in your time, if you are having to be in the wilderness, or if you are in any trouble, just understand that God is the provider of all. God will bring you through the famine. God will bring you through the storm in your life. God will bring you through the hurt and pain and anger of your life. As long as you walk with Him, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. That means that when you are angry, still walk with God, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how angry you are. Don't turn to our own vengeful ways. Don't try to get back at somebody because they have done something to you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and God will repay. God will repay for whatever we deserve. And so we just have to understand that when you are in a famine, you have to stand, and you have to stand with God. You have to be anchored in the Lord. You have to keep that anchor held on to the Lord and continue to serve Him regardless of what's going on. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, hallelujah, and to God be the glory. What a message, what a message, what a powerful message. Wait, I got to put a praise on it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, my brothers and sisters, we have truly heard an anointed word on tonight from our very own Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Now, this is my favorite time, hallelujah, of all the programs, because now is your time to touch and agree. If you have a comment, you have a question, you have a praise, you know what our pastor is talking about, hallelujah, you can press your one and you can testify. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number, hallelujah. We just praise God for everybody that heard this message and will hear this message around the world in rebroadcast. Hallelujah. As we look, we do have some of our Spirit Alive staff here. Hallelujah. And I just first and foremost want to say glory to God. You know, first of all, my brother, I don't need to re-preach his message, you know, but I feel good. Because first we're going to start with Ruth. You see, we've been talking about Ruth. But you need to understand that the story of Ruth is also the story of salvation.
Yes.
You see. See, what we need to understand and what we really need to look at this picture is Boaz submitted to God and Ruth submitted to Boaz. There was humility involved, saints of God, integrity, saints of God, honesty, based on the word of God, spirit recognized spirit, okay? And he found that Ruth was a woman worthy to protect, worthy
Amen.
To stand up
yes.
for. You know, a lot of women today in the church, they love to use the story of Ruth and Boaz, you know, as the marriage story. But see, they always fail to remember that there was a process. Ruth was close to God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She
right.
was, you know, and she was a beautiful woman. She could have easily went out there and caught a whole bunch of suitors. But she was doing the things of God. She was taking care of her mother-in-law. She had a spirit of gratitude. And I'm here to testify to somebody today. When you are going through, when you have famine in your life, you ought to start praising God because there will be a time that you say, what famine? We're in a pandemic. But I know that every one of the saints up in here, especially the staff, can testify. We can say, what pandemic?
Thank you.
We're eating good. We have roofs over our heads. You know, we're going and doing what we need to do when we need to do it using wisdom. We're masking up. We're doing our sanitizer. We're washing our hands. But we're not lacking anything.
Amen.
We're not lacking anything because we are standing on the side of God. We are in our lane. Boaz was in his lane. Ruth was in her lane. And they weren't getting it twisted. Some of us, especially carnal Christians, we need to understand. We are suffering famine in our lives because we refuse to bow down.
Uh-huh.
We refuse to humble ourselves. Uh-huh. We refuse to stop with the judging and the gossiping. We refuse to let go of the bitterness. We refuse to let go of that anger. Some people are walking around calling themselves Christians, and people that are dead and in the grave still have power over them.
That's right.
So you can never come out of, you will never come out of a famine. You will never understand the greatness of God until you look up and you stop murmuring and complaining and get in the right place with him. Get into his word. live the life that he called you to live. This was so good. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to preach because I'm actually scrolling for ones. Hallelujah. I'm scrolling for ones. But you know what? Since I don't see any right now, I'm going to throw it on over to Apostle Vader. Come on in the room because I know you want to say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on now.
Amen. Amen. The message was good. I enjoyed the message. And the
ooh,
message.
Me too.
Am I on? Okay, yeah. All right, I enjoyed the message and the messenger, and I really focused on what, you know, each one of those illustrations meant, you know, like Ruth and her loyalty, her having faith, being anchored in God, rooted, grounded, you know, already. She was already that before the blessing came upon her. And that's where we have to be. We have to be in alignment for these things to happen for us. You know, the Lord has it all cut out for each one of us, each one of us to be blessed, each one of us to be cared for in a way that he would want us to be cared for. And that story of Ruth, which is true, was so beautiful how it all came about and how she got blessed, praise God, because of how she already was, you know, such a beautiful person, loyal and faithful and all of this and trusting. You know, we have to trust. We have to have our trust in God. Hallelujah. And if we're anchored in him the way that we should be. And anchor, being anchored to me means being steadfast, unmovable, no matter what. No matter if a pandemic comes forth, no matter what comes forth, hallelujah, storms we go through in life and all of this stuff that we go through in this life, if we can remain steadfast and unmovable, we're going to make
it, ma'am.
Because the Lord is going to see to it. Praise God, simply because we have put our trust in him. And we're not standing alone in our situation.
That's right.
We already know, if we're anchored in God, we know that he's standing with us, that he's with us going through whatever. He's with us when we go through whatever we go through. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
I like the illustration about Joseph. Joseph's own brothers treated him terrible. But at the end, when the famine hit, they ended up bowing down to their brothers. They ended up bowing down to him. And that's why people have to be very careful in the body of Christ and sinners as well.
Yes.
It's how they entreat others that are anchored in God. Because if they're not careful, they'll end up in a situation where they have to depend upon the very ones that they did wrong. The very ones that they didn't care about, the very ones that they brought on them to happen to them and all of that.
Amen.
And tried to get them to turn around and go back into sin and all of that. They end up being put in a position where, like the Bible says, the Lord will cause your enemies to be your footstool.
Praise God.
Even put your feet upon them. We don't do it, but that's how we end up, because of the way they treated the woman of God or the man of God.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Zeta. That was beautiful. Well said. All right. I'm still searching for ones. Hallelujah. Come on in the room, Evangelist Michelle Scott. Because I know you were shouting, honey.
Thank you so much. First of all, husband and my earthly covering, I would like to say that my heart is full. And thank you for that wonderful, wonderful, explosive message. Because in times like these, when people are so worried and just worry more so for themselves and not others. We have
just
be mindful that this we are in a worldly famine right now.
Yes.
And we as Christians, we need to constantly submit ourselves to God and be mindful that we still need to help others.
Even
things and whatever this is, yes, they say a pandemic is a pandemic, whatever, it's a famine. And
it's a famine.
Yes, you know, just be full of God's word. And just as you fed us and we are all full right now, we must not be hoarders of this word. We need to go out and share this word, share the Spirit Alive link with others so that they can hear it for themselves. Because sometimes we're the only Bible that people will ever hear, the only messages that they'll ever hear. So when people ask me, where do I stand? I stand on the solid rock, which is Jesus.
Yes,
all around me is sinking sand. So I just thank you, Jeffrey. I love you so much, and God bless you to continue. And I pray that he will fill you back up. God bless.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're standing in Jesus. We're standing on the promises of Jesus. And, you know, maybe there's somebody out there within the sound of our voice that you don't have somebody to look out after you. You feel alone. You feel lost. You're in a famine. You're in a void. But we have good news for you tonight, my family and I. You don't have to leave the same way you came in.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. And he is standing at the door knocking. And he wants to come in and sup with you and to protect you and lead you and guide you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And you know what? You don't have to wait till the churches reopen because, as our brother so beautifully said, we, the body of believers, are the church. And wherever we are, church is in session.
Amen.
All you have to do is bow down before the Lord with a humble heart and just ask him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your life and save you. And then you promise the Father that you will sit at his feet, learn of his ways, and commit your ways unto him so that others through you might be saved, so that others through you might be pointed to his kingdom and he be glorified. I just praise God for this very anointed message and all of the Spirit Alive family, because we are on one accord. We understand. You know, we have to give God the glory in all things. And when we give God the glory for that favor, when we give God the glory for peace in the midst of the storm, favor in the midst of the famine, hallelujah, when we give God glory for his provision during the midst of it all, when we keep our eye on God instead of the problem, hallelujah. We walk in victory continuously. The enemy can't attack us if we're praising God, because he cannot inhabit the praises of God's people.
That's right. That's right.
And if we believe what God says, then we will be able to stand. And when we stand together, what I love about what we do is we stand together as a family. We stand together presenting a united front against the enemy and for the kingdom of God. We come together touching and agreeing, letting the world understand that love is all. We love one another. We love God. We love sharing his word. We love you. We want you to be saved. We want you to be delivered and changed and transformed. Not into many me, but into the likeness of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
so that on that great day, when the Lord comes to call his own, we know that we are going to our heavenly reward. We know that we are going to live eternally with Jesus. So
Amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We want to thank you for receiving, and we pray that you just let that powerful message get down in your spirit. Ask yourself, where are you going to stand in times like these? Are you going to stand on the Lord's side? Are you still going to walk in grace and integrity and love and peace and joy? Or are you going to go back? Are you going to murmur and complain and want to go back to Egypt like the Israelites did? We just want to thank you again, Pastor Jeffrey, for that anointed message. It was so, so wonderful. And I know that people around the world truly will be blessed because you told the truth, the whole truth, and
Amen.
Nothing but the truth. So at this time, we're going to allow you to pray, and I will close out the program for you, dear.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you just thanking you once again. We thank you for what we have heard, Father God. We thank you for all that was done and said. We pray that everything that was done and said was pleasing in your sight. We just wanted to lift you up and magnify you in all our ways and acknowledge you in all our ways to allow us to direct our path. Father God, we thank you for those that are listening. We ask that you just continue to touch, Father God.
Yes, Jesus.
Father God, just touch all of us and continue to
build
us up, Father God, where we can bring the word to this world, Father, to the sin-sick world.
Yes,
we just need you to continue to work through us, Father God, and we just praise and give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Yes,
amen
Lord.
And amen. You have been listening
amen.
To every man standing in his place. Hallelujah. With the anointed Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I would like to thank my beautiful sisters and family, my co-laborers, Apostle Zeta Flowers and Evangelist Michelle Scott, who are always faithful, hallelujah. They always come out to support and to lift up God in the presence and encourage a brother or sister. And that's what we love to do here. So we just praise God for all of you who are listening, all of you that will be listening and rebroadcast. We just pray in the name of Jesus that you would continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, in all seasons.
Yes.
In all things and at all times. And from my household to your household, it is truly our fervent prayer that through the word of God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone, and God bless you. To God be the glory.
Good.
Amen.
And we will.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.